the Word with Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I invite you to stay tuned as I share a powerful message from God's Word that will change your life. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And now, here's today's message.
Satan, see what he coming after? He coming after the word. Why? Because when you get knowledge of the word, he can't deceive you. So what he does, he developed a strategy. He say, now, either I'm going to get them concerned about life. That means full of care, worry, and anxiety, and fear. If I can make them worried, then I can keep them from walking in the word, and they're no longer a threat. I can take prayer out of their life. I can take the word, and I can take power out of them. He say, either I'm going to get you with the cares of this life. That's why people can't sleep at night. Stress is killing people. People dying every day because of stress. You know why? Because it's the devil. The devil has deceived them. All right, now, not only the cares of this life, and most time the cares of this life are about money. Jesus said, it is the cares of this life, taking on the anxieties of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, wealth, material wealth, money. Choke the word. In other words, you know, the word can't be destroyed. But what it does is that it crowds your mind and your thinking so much till you can't even think the word anymore. It suffocates the word that's in you. It suppresses the word that's in you so that you can't live it out. That's what he's talking about when they choke the word and make it unfruitful. Satan knows that if he can crowd your heart with a lot of other stuff, then he can pretty much choke and strangle you spiritually. Word choke means to strangle. So he says, let me get a stranglehold. Let me tell you, if you're under care and anxiety and if money running your life, I'm going to tell you, Satan is strangling you right now. Yeah. You're in a stranglehold. And there's only one way to get free from that is to get back in the truth and get everything back in its proper perspective. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The deceitfulness of riches. There is a deceiving power in money and material wealth that will cause one to trust in it and be led astray from the truth in the error and ultimately into eternal destruction by either keeping you from the knowledge of the truth, your relationship with God, or severing your relationship with God by seduction. So either Satan will try to hold you back from God, and if he can't do that, once you find God, then he works on severing that relationship. That's what the deceitfulness of riches is. It is getting you to trust in money. Let me tell you, when I first started working, I was saving money, and I was putting that money in the bank, and I'm saying, boy, that's my new car, this down payment on my house. You know, I'm calling what that money is, which means I started, I didn't know, but I had started trusting in it. I started relying on it, say, well, somehow I got some money in the bank. I started believing in it and trusting in it, and then one day the Lord spoke to me and told me to give it almost all of it away. I had several thousand dollars. He said, I want you to give it away, and this is who I want you to give it to. And boy, I fought with God over that. Say, that's the devil. It's the devil trying to break me. And I mean, I just started ignoring God. I was really trying to follow God. But I wasn't sure, so I would say I was going to do it. Then I'd talk myself out of it. Okay, I'm going to give it, and then I'd talk myself out of it. Then I'd give it, and I'd talk myself out of it. This went on for about a month. And I remember one day I got on my knees. I went in there to pray and to intercede for people, and the Lord said, what did I tell you to do about that money? I said, Lord, I can't even pray for you talking about this money. I said, here I am trying to pray for lost souls, and you keep bringing this money thing up. I'm trying to pray. Pardon me. Well, you know, he wasn't going to let me get by talking to him like that. See, he the Lord. He going to straighten you out. Then I heard him say, why are you calling me Lord, Lord, and you won't do what I tell you? Boy, I'm going to tell you, it hit me like, I said, oh, Lord. I said, this God. And then I went to the scripture, and I found that place where he said that. And then he said, do you want to be a wise man or a foolish man? I said, Lord, I want to be a wise man. He said, then do what I tell you to do. I said, okay, Lord, I got it this time. I wrote that check out. But I wrote that check out, put it in an envelope, and slammed it in the mailbox before I could talk myself out of it. But when I did, when I let go, I'm going to tell you, I had a Holy Ghost fit in the front yard. I'm going to tell you, God blessed me with an explosion of joy in my spirit, the joy of obedience like no other joy you can have. I danced all over the front yard that I had obeyed God. And I said, Lord, why you had me do that? He said, because you're starting to trust in it. I said, well, couldn't you taught me how not to trust in it and keep it? I had to learn the hard way. But you know what? When CC and I bought our house, I didn't have any money in the bank because I had given it all away. The lady said, how much money are you going to put down? So I'm going to put down this much. She said, where are you going to get it from? I didn't have it in the bank, and you can't borrow your down payment. I said, well, listen, I'll have it when I need it. And she let me slide. I couldn't prove that I had a down payment. And it was like 2 days before we closed, I got a check in the mail that covered everything. I'm going to tell you, God's good. Amen. He's very good. So God taught me not to let that control me because I was starting to put my faith in it. I started to lean on that. I started to depend on that. The Lord said, give it away. And he wanted me to just trust him. And I did, and I'm glad that I did. Now, look at another scripture, 1 Timothy 6. I want you to turn over there. 1 Timothy 6, 9 through 10. I'm going to read this. Listen to this. It said, but they that will be rich, that means crave to be rich, fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish, unwise, and hurtful lusts or desires, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. Now, Paul is giving some instruction to Timothy, and he told him three things that he had to do. He told him there were certain things he had to flee. That means to run from them. There were certain things that he needed to follow. Righteousness, peace, love, faith, goodness, follow those things. And then he said, you're going to have to fight the good fight of faith. So tell your neighbor, say, you got to flee, follow, and fight. Amen. Glory to God. Now, let's look at this scripture here because really this scripture right here really tells you what the deceitfulness of riches will do to you and how it will hurt your life. You see, material wealth was designed by God to be a blessing. But Satan will use it to be a curse in your life. Listen to this here. Listen to these scriptures. They that will be rich, that means those that crave to be rich. That means they have a desire to be wealthy that can't be quenched. They're seeking money and material things. They're not seeking after God. See the problem in that? You're supposed to seek God, seek ye first, kingdom of God and his righteousness, and what? All these things will be what? Added to. So you're supposed to get them from God. Yes. You ain't supposed to be out there getting them on your own. Amen. So if you're pursuing to be wealthy apart from God, then you are deceived. Amen. Because that wealth is not going to be the blessing that you think it's going to be. You might have a good time in this life with it, but life ain't just about this life. There's another life to come. I'm going to show that to you in just a few minutes here. Let's look at this scripture. They that will be rich fall into what? Temptation. Tell your neighbors, fall into temptation. And a snare. All right, there's temptation and a snare. That there's a door of temptation that opens up and a snare that opens up in your life when you're pursuing material wealth without God. You see, Jesus said, pray lest you enter into temptation. Same thing happened when you don't pray. That door of temptation opens up when you don't pray. So Satan said, well, they're praying, but let me get them on another trail. I'll get them to where they just want money. And they just want to be blessed. And he put that desire in you so strong that you're willing to do anything to get it apart from doing it God's way, then that temptation, that enticement, that allurement will come into your life so strong, and then it's going to bring destruction in your life. Listen to this. A snare is a trap or a noose. It implies, listen to this, unexpected, sudden, deadly peril. A snare is an allurement and a seduction of sin by which Satan holds people in bondage. Now, I could use a rat trap as an example of a snare. Couldn't I? Because it brings sudden, unexpected, deadly peril. To the mouse, it's sudden. It is certainly unexpected. And it's deadly. That's what happens when Satan get a grip on you, that things unexpectedly and suddenly will start happening that are designed to take you out. Satan not trying to pacify you, trying to take you out. If you're a believer, he better off with you not being here. Right? If you're his enemy, what'd you try to do? Get rid of your enemy, right? So he ain't happy with you being here. Especially now that you're saved. So he'll work at you, study your life, and develop a method against you. This is just one of them. All right, look at the next part. And into many foolish and hurtful lusts. So if you crave for that, then you're going to have foolish desires, unwise desires, and desires that will bring hurt and harm into your life. Now, I'm just telling you what the Bible says. That's what it says. And what do? Which drown men in what? In destruction. The word drown means to plunge into the deep. So in other words, when you get those desires working in you, they will plunge you into destruction. What did Satan come to do? All right, see, this is one of his methods here. He'll try to plunge you. He'll try to drown you in your destruction and perdition. Perdition is destruction that consists of eternal misery in hell. So if he can get you serving money, he got your soul. That's why you had to keep it in his right perspective. All right, look at the next verse. For the love of money. This word comes from a Greek word which means extreme greed for riches, money, or material wealth. It is that strong, unquenchable desire for money, or material gain. So the love of money is extreme greed. You know that's not the will of God for you to be in extreme greed.
You've been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust that you received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $8 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call